B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce Forward.
And he's brought to us by our friends over at DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now.
Good man is ESPN own and our friend Dan Orlovsky. Dan, how you doing today, buddy?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys? I'm well.
How much snow hit you?
We got a lot. Probably, I just was outside because we have two dogs, and they would not go actually to where they're supposed to go to the bathroom, so I had to shovel them a pathway. Think of that. We probably got somewhere close to a foot, yeah.
Wow.
Damn. What kind of dogs do you have, Dan?
Yeah, we got hit pretty good.
What kind of dogs do you have?
They're English Labs, so they're kind of referenced to as polar bear labs as well, so like oversized heads, oversized paws.
Oh, great.
Their fur is more white than yellow. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Dan. So a lot happening in Philadelphia Eagles this weekend with Jalen Hurts going to the starting quarterback spot. I'm really interested to know, what did you see overall? My first question in that is, did Doug Peterson call a totally different game and make it really conducive for Jalen Hurts to succeed?
Yeah, there's no question about it that was the best and friendliest game plan that Doug has called all year. Indisputable. 75% of their snaps were either runs or throws from outside of the pocket. I mean, that's completely different to what we have seen out of that Eagles offense. So, you know, like at the end of the day, one, you credit the coach for doing that and, you know, kind of, okay, how do we play as well as we can with this guy at quarterback? But then, two, it quite makes me question, like, where was this? Like, where was getting the ball to a Jalen Reagor in space? Where was the mandatory touches for Miles Sanders? Where was the moving the pocket and getting an athlete out in space? Like, where was all that for the first 13 weeks or so? And so I walked away from the game, you know, initially going, wow, Jalen Hurts played well, good for him. But then really with more questions than answers when it came to how things were operated.
So let me ask you, how did Jalen Hurts play? I know you just said good, but take us a little more in depth. What did he do well? What were some of the things maybe that he missed? Just all together, your grading of him.
Yeah, grading was played good. Played good, solid football. The best thing that he did was the moment wasn't too big, right? That's not a physical thing. The moment wasn't too big. I understand he played in the SEC, all that stuff. It's still the NFL. So that was good to see. The best thing that he did physically was he was decisive. And it wasn't just with the throws. You know, like it was very much so, number one's not open, great, I'm going to go out, get outside with my feet. And some of those were designed get outside the pocket stuff, which was great. You know, but really just being decisive. You know, understanding what's the strength of my game, my feet. Okay, well, then I'm going to rely on them a lot. Now, what's the, I don't want to say it, the weakness of my game, but what do I not know how to operate at a high level in the NFL, getting through all those progressions, see all the different coverage changes. And that's why you saw him scrambling so much. You know, I mean, four or five scrambles were a big deal. So being decisive was great. Never putting the ball at harm's way, which was really good. You know, like he valued the football. You know, that was the big thing, obviously, till the end when that punch out fumble happened. But that was one of the big things that, you know, and Carson didn't figure out a way to make happen in a game this year. It was like, really, okay, I'm going to play clean. I'm not going to give the ball away. And so the fact that he was so decisive early on, that first third down when he scrambles, you could tell, like, how the game was going to go. Okay, if it's not there, I'm going to tuck and run. And that was a huge strength of his. And then, obviously, they played their most complete game as a football team. You know, by far their most complete game as a football team. But he brought him some energy as well.
Dan, to me, one of the most confusing parts of Carson Wentz's performance this year, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, we know it's 12th different offensive line combination in 13 games, and the insureness of the line, you know, maybe some guys that shouldn't be playing a lot. But his, the first couple years in the league, his pocket navigation, like I thought he was Mr. Miyagi. He was seeing things from behind, from the side, from here and there. This year, it seemed different. Like he wasn't seeing it as well. What leads to that? We know the offensive line isn't up to par that it has been in the past, but it seemed like his navigation skills kind of doubled down on the problem this year.
Yeah, you guys ever like walked around the corner in your house when it's dark at night and had a girlfriend or a wife like pop out of nowhere and spook you just to think like, okay, I'm going to get him at some point.
Yeah,
like,
I do it to my wife all the time.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you start walking around the corner at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon getting ready to jump, you know, like, oh, you know, and you're like, no one's there. It's 1 o'clock. It's
sure.
Light out, like nothing. You know, that's kind of what happens is when you start getting beat up, you start to anticipate things that aren't there. You start to, and, you know, okay, in your mindset, it's like, all right, I know my offensive line is in my, you know, game 3, 4, 5, right? There's the fifth straight different offensive line. I got the backup right guard in, and I got the backup left tackle in. Great. You know, and so you start to feel things that aren't there. You start to, you know, imagine things in your brain that aren't actually happening. And there's a very, very much so a lack of trust in the people that are in front of you. And you start to convince yourself, okay, I've got to leave. I got to get out of the pocket. I know that this defensive line we're playing is really good. So, you know, make sure that the sacks don't happen. And you start to just pretend that things are there that actually aren't there. You guys remember when Sam Darnold against the Patriots last year, I think it was Monday Night Football, there was the whole he's seeing ghosts
yeah.
thing. That was kind of blown out of proportion because it's the coverage that they presented to him. But that's actually when it happens for a quarterback, is when they start seeing things in the pocket that aren't actually there because of their previous experiences the week before, or 2 weeks before, or 3 weeks before. Now, I'm not kind of relieving him of that. You know, he still has to own some of that flaw. But at the end of the day, it's a big part of, you know, why the offensive line and the continuity is so important.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Dan, was Jalen Hurts' performance on Sunday more damning to Carson Wentz, being that he couldn't perform like that this year, or to Doug Peterson because he didn't call the game well for Carson Wentz this year?
Yeah, you guys have heard me say this before. I always start with the coaching. I always will start with the coaching. I think it's more damning on Doug that, like, I started this segment really, where was this? Mm-hmm. You know, why could you have not sat back and said, okay, we've gone a couple weeks with our offense struggling. I don't care really who the quarterback is. You know, when you look at an offense that is struggling, okay, starting up front, our offensive line is beat up. Well, what's the best way that I can help a beat up or backup offensive line? Number one, offensive linemen always have and always will want to run the football. It's easier for them. They get to go do what they've done their whole life, try to maul people, you know, like try to lean on people. So the run game, I don't care who the quarterback, the run game should have been featured more. Number two, with a poor offensive line, or an offensive line, again, that's been beat up, how many different ways can I change the spot of the quarterback to help those guys, to move the pocket, to get some of those chips, to relieve some of the pressure on them? That should have been happening for weeks, for months that should have been happening. So it starts with Doug of, like, why hasn't that happened more? And then, like, I don't sit here and go, like, wow, I can't believe Carson couldn't do that. Like, listen, Jalen played good. He made 6 throws from the pocket. You know, like, mm-hmm. 6 throws from the pocket, and a couple of those were just, like, Jalen Reagor's shallow cross. You're not going to get that normally in the NFL. It's a busted coverage. That shallow cross very easily should go for 4 yards and a tackle in space. And so you're more than likely not going to get the 82-yard touchdown run right before the half in a busted blitz. So, you know, I think that while it's awesome that Jalen took advantage of that opportunity, it's more, again, it forced me to ask more questions of what took so long for that to happen. And then the fact that the quarterback is an athletic guy. And the next thing I'll kind of dispel is, I hear a lot of people going, well, Carson Wentz changes so many different plays at the line of scrimmage. The only problem I have with that is this. If he was doing that at such a ridiculous rate that people are implying, and they've been playing offensive football that poorly for 2 months, at some point the coaches go, we're done with that. You don't have the freedom anymore. Like, listen, we just got to call plays and run them. Like, let's just, you know what? You're not going to continue to give him the freedom to doing it if doing it is hurting your team, you know? So that's why I kind of push back on the whole, like, well, if Carson didn't change so many plays at the line, like, at some point you would just tell him to stop doing it if it wasn't helping your team.
Yeah, and Dan, you know, this offseason is going to be a strange one here in Eagle Land, so I'm going to put you in Howie Roseman's shoes.
Yeah.
Is it possible that Jalen Hurts shows enough in the final three games of the season to open this up to a true quarterback competition in training camp next year? Or if you're Howie, are you just going back to Carson with an offseason of, you know, resetting and saying, all right, you're the franchise quarterback, you're getting the big money, it's your job? Or is it possible that this could be a real competition next year?
Well, I do not advise for it to be a competition. I would say that if I was Howie Roseman. Here's where I stand on the whole situation. So Jalen he played one game, played good, they won. All right, he's got three more opportunities. If he plays well and they make it interesting going into week 17 against, I believe, Washington, then I think two things come to the forefront for the organization in the offseason. Number one, the question of can you trade Carson becomes more realistic. You know, I would never do that. I don't. There's no chance that I would trade Carson Wentz and go, okay, Jalen, you're going to be the guy moving forward. And I'll get into exactly why in 1 minute. So I think that question becomes more realistic. I understand the money and the investment aspect of it. It's the NFL. Nothing surprises me. Number two, if Jalen plays well and they make it interesting to week 17, and you are a part of the crew that believed that the selection of Jalen Hurts had a negative impact or effect on Carson Wentz, I have no idea how you think they both can be on the roster next year. I have no idea how you think that's a healthy situation for both of them to be on the roster next year. Now, why do I think it's like, why would I not move Carson Wentz in favor of Jalen Hurts if he plays well over the next couple weeks? Because the same things that people were talking about 2 or 3 years ago when it came to Carson Wentz, Carson, you have to scramble less. Carson, you have to take less hits. Carson, you can't take that many shots in the NFL. You're going to become injury prone. Jalen Hurts had like 15 carries the other night. That's eventually going to come to storyline. Jake, what's been the storyline about Lamar Jackson this year?
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to, like, so that's my thing is like, I love the athletic quarterback, and you can use it some. At the end of the day, you have to be an absolute savage throwing from the pocket to win in the NFL consistently. You have to be. And you have to be available, and you have to avoid injury. And something that will make Jalen Hurts be a really, really good player, potentially, is his ability to run. And that's going to expose your football team more.
Yeah. Last one for me here. We had a little side topic going on this morning, Dan.
Just Jamie. Okay. We're removing ourselves, Dan, from this question.
A little, you know, fun side topic.
Go ahead.
Who do you think got more tail in life, Elvis or Frank Sinatra?
Oh, come on, guys. Frank Sinatra, man.
That's what I thought. Okay. I'm glad we had an expert clear this up.
Frank Sinatra, man. New York City. What are we talking about? The Rat Pack. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, but he didn't, like, Frank had to, like, he had competition there, right? Dan, Elvis was on his own. Frank had to compete with, like, Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and all.
Nah. No one was competing with Frank Sinatra, man. All he had to do was walk in and say, my way, sing my way. And it was, like, blouse.
It's curtains. There.
Awesome. Dan, thanks so much for joining us again. Can't wait to talk to you again next week about a little more Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz.
Have a good day, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, buddy. Be good.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer.
Yeah. So
interesting stuff, though.
Yes.
He believes you cannot have Jalen Hurts. If he performs well these final three games, you cannot have both quarterbacks on the roster next year.
Yeah, well, there's many, many people that say the same thing. And, you know, I don't know if the best thing to happen is that there's a quarterback competition.
The best thing to happen is that Jalen Hurts plays great and you're able to get a nice trade value in return.
All right. Well, then you got to hope Carson Wentz gets fixed. That's for sure.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.